Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, borderline personality disorder is a condition in which people have long-term patterns of unstable behavior or turbulence in their feelings about themselves and others. And they can include chronic feelings of emptiness and difficulties with emotional regulation. These inner experiences often cause them to take impulsive actions and have somewhat chaotic relationships. But recent therapies have found that using creative self-expression can really help these people stabilize their symptoms and overall feel much better. Joining us this morning to discuss some of this approach is Blake Basil, psychology resident with the Department of Psychiatry at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Blake.
Thank you for having me here today.
It's a pleasure to have you. So tell us a little bit more about borderline personality disorder. I just kind of skimmed over the surface. What is it, and what do we see when someone has it?
Yeah, sure. Some of the hallmarks of borderline personality disorder are an instability in emotional expression, instability in self-image, instability in interpersonal relationships. Also, individuals with borderline personality disorder could also experience feelings of chronic emptiness, fluctuation of emotions in a short period of time, impulsivity. So those are some of the things that you would see with individuals who are experiencing borderline personality disorder.
So you see big mood swings. You see somebody running hot and cold, for example. Mm-hmm. We would say in kind of lay terms. Mm-hmm. And as a result, their relationships suffer, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of those are factors that could happen with people who are experiencing BPD, which is borderline personality disorder. It presents in a variety of ways. And some of those, especially with the instability and the impulsivity, those are two of the hallmarks of BPD.
And that's basically a psychiatric diagnosis. And and often, who are the people that you see having this? Are there more men than women, for example, or is it show up in childhood, show up much more, later in life? What do you see?
It tends to be a majority of females, and it tends to appear in young women. So that's
young meaning how old?
About approximately 20 to 30 years old. But it could, that's just, a tendency. It could, there's definitely a range of, women and men of, older age could also, have BPD.
Yeah, but it can show up earlier in life. So you begin to see it perhaps when someone's in their 20s.
Is that primarily, young adulthood is when it starts to really become.
Do they have any idea why someone develops this? Is there a genetic component, or is it more a result of kind of your environment?
I think it could be a combination of both genetics and environment that, and those two factors definitely can play a role in BPD coming about in the person.
Is it usually the result, for example, of some traumatic experiences people might have, or is it more, just as I said, there's a genetic predisposition and there just might be some trigger?
I think one thing that you'll often see with individuals who have BPD is early traumatic experiences. Individuals who may have not had the opportunity to convey their feelings or express their feelings openly at an early age, or may have been through, like I mentioned, events that did traumatize them at a younger age,
like child abuse or.
And that's a possibility.
A restrictive environment in some ways.
Restrictive environment, yes.
So tell me this is a very unique and special program that you've just been involved with. Tell me, what is it exactly? What are you doing?
Okay, the program is called Creativity Heals, and I've developed it along with Dr. Robert Gregory, who's in the Department of Psychiatry at Upstate, and Dr. Robbie Seletsky, who's a psychologist in the department, in the psychiatry department at Upstate. And it's premised that that art can help individuals with borderline personality disorder with their symptoms, help them, for example, convey their emotions, express their emotions in a productive manner rather than in a manner that would be destructive. So some of the different types of activities that we would use clay, we would use paint, drawing, and discussion, processing of the activities that we do. And all of this is premised on being in a really supportive environment a validating and supportive environment, and also an environment where their feelings, their true feelings and thoughts could be understood.
So the art or the creativity is a vehicle through which they can then express their emotions and maybe make sense of them. Is that the idea?
Exactly. To better understand themselves, better understand what they want in life, and to better convey their feelings and thoughts, and to do something, to do that in a way where it's going to be productive, where the result, like, for example, if they're experiencing something difficult, if they, you know, if they were to use art, and that's a goal of the group, to use art as a way to better understand themselves, better express themselves, not only are they learning something about who they are as a human being, but at the same time, they're being productive. They're making something that's useful, that's purposeful, rather than doing something that could have negative consequences for them.
Or be self-destructive in
some
way.
Or be self-destructive.
So exactly. It's interesting that you say it clearly has to be in a supportive but safe environment, because all too often, I think with art, and I can only speak from my own experience as a youngster growing up, we tend to think, oh, I'm not an artist, I can't draw. Or we measure it against some probably unrealistic goal, but clearly it's not about that in this type of a group. It's just about producing something that is a reflection of yourself.
Yes, and I think that's one of the key components and part of the discussion aspect that comes into play with this group. Talking about how with art that there are no, they're not necessarily rules to follow, and that the main purpose of this group is not to compare yourself to another person or to another artist, but to use art as a true form to express who you are as a human being. And to be, and in this group, to be accepted, to be understood, and that, that can translate to the outside world too, where individuals with BPD can feel like, okay, I can be understood, I can express what I'm really feeling, and I could do that in a way that's accepted by other people and by themselves.
And the goal would then be to translate this this experience in some way to their lives? Is that the case? And how? And how would you make that transition? In other words, of what you would learn in using the art in the group, how would that be translatable into their everyday lives?
I think two factors come into play. The first thing, the first aspect of it is really processing the experience in the group, that it's an experiential group, understanding what's taking place, what each individual is doing, what they're producing, what they're feeling, and at the same time encouraging the participants in the group to also practice using art outside of the group. So that in that way, it could translate into their everyday life. It becomes more normal. It becomes something where they can say, okay, this is something that I feel comfortable as a form of expression. And not a whole, hopefully not only comfortable, but something that's meaningful too, meaningful and enjoyable.
So tell me, the group began, or the first group that you started, when did it begin? How long has it been running, and what's happening right now?
Okay, the first group started in April, and it went April through May. It was eight consecutive weeks, and it was on Wednesday nights. And that group just completed, so it was a really nice experience, I believe, for the group members and for myself. And then we started the second group a couple weeks ago, so that group's also going to run for 8 weeks Wednesday nights.
How many people were in the first group?
In the first group, there are seven people, so it's a nice size where it's big enough where there could be a nice discussion and different individuals expressing their feelings and thoughts, and at the same time, not too large where it becomes impersonal.
And so were these mostly women, or were they men and women?
Predominantly women again.
Mm-hmm. Young women.
Predominantly young women, but again, the age varies.
And how about the new group?
And the new group, it's the same, but the age in terms of the number of people and also the age, but the age range, it varies.
So the group runs a month. Is that the idea? Are people, you know, do people come back? Can they continue if they want to in the group, or is it just a one-shot deal?
Yeah, the group runs for 8 weeks. So they come on eight consecutive Wednesday nights for 2 hours. And the participants in there are encouraged to come back on for as long as that group runs on an 8-week basis, to continue to come back so they could get the benefits of the group, all the benefits. And then after that, for the time being, we start all over with a different group of people. But in the future, our hope is that we could expand this program where it could be of a longer duration, and also where participants in the group could also be in there for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. That would be very interesting to see. So, tell me, what's your role in this group? What do you actually do?
Okay, what I do as a group leader, I'll basically be the one that sets the table of what we're going to do for the week. lead the discussion, but I think also mainly, I would say actually facilitate the discussion, because for me, a lot of what the group gets back from this, from participating, is the feedback from one another. And to point things, you know, and also to point things out that different group members are saying, to really process their feelings and thoughts, and to help allow them to really understand what they're doing, their experience, to appreciate their experience, and also to discuss how, again, that could be how that can be translated outside of the group, because I think that's a really important component.
So let me just try to understand. So that you it's a two-hour session, mm-hmm. and the first hour you draw or paint or make clay, is that correct?
Okay.
Or how does it actually work?
Okay, yeah, that's a really good question. In the beginning, what we do is we have a discussion about what happened the previous week, if anyone has feedback or anything, and we talk about that. Then we proceed into a movement activity, because I think that an important part of art, and I think it could sometimes get overlooked, is movement. And so we go into that, and each time we do an activity, we process it beforehand and afterwards. And group members are always told that if they feel like this is something that could work for them, terrific. If they feel like this isn't their cup of tea, that's fine too, to really acknowledge their feelings and the experience. And then after that, we'll have some more discussion, and usually we'll continue on to an art activity.
So the art activities, do any of those include writing as well? Is it literature, or is it all kind of, you know, visual, motor, graphic kind of things?
It's a variety of activities. And in some of the activities, I'm thinking one in particular right now, that writing is incorporated into it. It's a relatively brief amount of writing, but at the same time, it's incorporated into there with a variety of using different arts, different mediums of arts. Again, can range from clay to drawing to collaging. So it all varies.
It's interesting, because what they all seem to have in common is a vehicle for expression. Mm-hmm. And clearly, if people are having trouble modulating their emotions or understanding what they're experiencing in terms of, you know, fairly chaotic or volatile emotions, the opportunity to somehow put it out there in some form would clearly be a way, first of all, of being able to get some distance from it, look at it, and in this sense, in your setting, have people also weigh in on it that could give you some further insight. Mm-hmm. And clearly with your role there to help facilitate all that, it sounds like it could be incredibly beneficial.
Yeah, and also it's very powerful. Sometimes what you hear, again, when you hear the other group members giving feedback, if I could point something out, and I think you bring up a really good point, just the additional time that art can give a person to really reflect on a situation, to get a better understanding of it.
And it sounds like there are very limited amount of therapeutic treatments currently for this borderline personality disorder, so this is even more relevant, it sounds mm-hmm. like.
And yes, and that's why I believe that this program could be a really important contribution. I think that Upstate has some outstanding programs right now for BPD in addition to this. There's one that Dr. Gregory in the psychiatry department leads, DDP, Deconstructive Dynamic Therapy. And
what's the goal of that?
Mm-hmm. And yet what he does with that is that'll be more of a individual therapy basis with Dr. Gregory, where he works with an individual with BPD and works towards helping them overcome challenges in their lives.
Well, it sounds like Upstate's doing an incredible job mm-hmm. in psychiatry. Very quickly, in the little bit of time we have left, what's your experience? Is it working for people?
It's been a wonderful experience here at Upstate for me. I've met wonderful people.
But I mean, are the patients getting better?
Oh yes, the progress that I've seen with the patients. Yeah, yes, the feedback that we got from the first group was really encouraging. That
sounds wonderful. Blake Bizzell, psychology resident with the Department of Psychiatry. This is a fabulously interesting program, and we wish you all the best going forward with it. I hope we'll hear more about it. We have to take a short break right now, but we'll be right back. So please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSB.